I feel like by saying a month mind mass for Pope Benedict that we're making reparation, kind of like we make reparation when someone has disrespected the Eucharist. Out of grief, we want to make up for that by giving honor to the Eucharist. And so much in our popular culture and the media, Benedict was viewed with suspicion, and it was grievous to see some of the obituaries in mainstream media, the New York Times, elsewhere, that regarded him as having a mixed record of sort. Someone who we regard as so dear to our heart, as someone who so tenderly led us to the way, the truth, and the life. How distorted was that example of his in the eyes of those who portrayed him as one who was hard and doctrinaire, which he was someone who cared about doctrine, but certainly was not doctrinaire in the way that we normally use that word in a pejorative way. And so he's dear to our hearts for many reasons, simply because of his pastoral care for the flock, his love for our Lord, which came across so warmly in his writings, but also for the debt of gratitude that we owe to him as those who hold to the faith once delivered, those who look at the church with what we call a understanding of continuity from the early church all the way unto now, which he carried forward in a most pastoral way, which led to the creation of the Ordinariate, to whom we owe its existence, which he saw as one of the greatest fruits of his pontificate, at least according to Bishop Lopes, who has that inside knowledge to that end. So, a few things I can say relatively briefly tonight about the legacy of Pope Benedict XVI is that he was one who had a hope in heaven, and his whole ministry, for all his theology, as systematic as it was, as comprehensive as it was simply to commend that hope to others, a hope to which he gave witness in a beautiful way towards the end of his life. Now, as a writing of his became quite well known a few years before his death, as he looked towards his own departing, he wrote, "Quite soon I shall find myself before the final judge of my life, even though as I look back on my long life, I have great reason for fear and trembling. I am nonetheless," he says, "of good cheer. For I trust firmly that the Lord is not only the just judge, but also the friend and brother who himself has already suffered for my shortcomings." That's the first half of his prayer, of his hope that he put forward, and we'll return to the second half before I close. But in light of all this, we see one who commended that hope that Jesus shared with Thomas, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And in this way, in the witness of Benedict's life, we see that he was traditional yet pastoral. Traditional yet relevant. Now, those may sound like false dichotomies. Traditional yet pastoral? I mean, are they ever at odds with one another? But one can be traditional, holding to it in a doctrinaire way, as he was often portrayed as having done. But he was eminently pastoral. And he was eminently relevant because he cared to make historic truth present to the people. In this way, he was both patristic as well as progressive. We look at him as being conservative, but he saw before Vatican II the need to make the faith relevant, to meet people where they are. Only after people interpreted Vatican II in a radical way, he saw that the best way to meet people where they are is to have them in touch with the whole witness of the faith, not just in a way that it meets our modern day. And so he brought forward tradition, but not a dead tradition, always thinking about how to apply that to our all of tradition to our day in a way that was relevant. So in light of this, we call this a hermeneutic of continuity, a hermeneutic, a way of how we read scripture, how we read the tradition, how we read history. He saw a continuity that led from the earliest days of the church to now as well, as we still continue to read with fresh eyes. As we like to say here, not new, but with newness. And one example of this is, in order to be traditional, one might think that I would choose the option, as we have on our missal today, being a traditional missal that he gave us, the divine worship, the Dies Irae. It's a beautiful text, a fruit of the medieval tradition, but I'm not going to read that because Pope Benedict actually did not prefer that. Well, he had nothing against the Dies Irae in itself, which is set to beautiful music and is a beautiful place in our tradition, but because he was also patristic, he saw that some aspects of the Dies Irae were not fully in continuity with the witness of the faith. As he writes in his book on eschatology, Death and Eternal Life, he says, "Scholars have long drawn attention to the contrast between the early Christian invocation, Maranatha, come Lord, please come, to the medieval Dies Irae. In the former, there is a joyful hope for the Christ who will come soon, a hope which takes on particular intensity in the early second century Didache with his cry, may grace come and this world pass away. In the Dies Irae, on the other hand, we would hear only of the fear of judgment which contemplates the end under the appearances of horror and of threat to the soul's salvation. Or again, there is that characteristic motto of Mass mission in the 19th and 20th centuries, save your soul. Like a lightning flash, this motto seems to expose the true facts of how Christianity has been reduced to the level of individual persons, to the detriment of what was once the core of both eschatology and the Christian message itself, the confident corporate hope for the imminent salvation of all the world." So that's the message of our Holy Father, to have this reading, this reading of continuity, not just from what we often consider traditional, but from the earliest days of the church as it is most needs to be heard today. And that is the faith that he embraced as his own hope, as he concludes with his own prayer. And thus, also my advocate, my paraclete, in light of the hour of judgment, the grace of being a Christian becomes all the more clear to me. It grants me knowledge and indeed friendship with the judge of my life, and thus allows me to pass confidently through the dark door of death. So now we commend the soul of our dear Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, Pope Emeritus. We commend his soul to our Lord on This Is Month's Mind, and we do with a joyful expectation that neither death nor life will separate him from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord.